Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Claire's Tomato by Ed Keller is the story of Claire, a young girl who was full of questions about the food she eats. Now, in the book, you will follow her adventures as she sets out to learn about how vegetables grow. She plants and tends to the growth of a tomato plant and is thrilled when the first tomato appears, but is concerned about what will happen, well, when it ripens. Claire's Tomato is an entertaining children's story. It's also a chance for them to learn where food comes from and how they can provide food for their families. Ed Keller is a multinational award-winning public school teacher who has taught primary through graduate students. He's a noted lecturer, the author of several articles on science education, a textbook reviewer, and an advisor to the National Science Foundation. Now retired, he spends his time making jewelry, writing, and traveling. Ed Keller, author of Claire's Tomato, is our guest on This Week in America. Ed, welcome to the program. Great to have you with us.
Well, thank you very much.
I love your background. I love what you've done with the book, and it really answers a lot of questions even some adults have about where our food comes from. I briefly, very briefly, went through your career. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I love the background in science and in education, and you tap all of those resources for the book, Claire's Tomato. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Okay, I graduated from South High in Torrance, California in 69. I moved to West Virginia to go to the university. I wasn't the best student, and to avoid the draft, I joined the Army Reserves, served as a staff sergeant from 71 to 77, graduated with a bachelor's degree secondary education in science in 76. I got my master's in curriculum instruction in 85, and I taught in Monongahela County, West Virginia. I taught two elementary schools, two junior highs, one college, one university, and finished out in one high school over a 26-year period. During that time, I developed three science activity kits available nationwide for teachers. I presented over 40 workshops at the local, state, national levels and published 17 papers. I spent 16 summers working on National Science Foundation grants, the first dealing with the development and materials, developing materials and instructional strategies for teaching marine biology to disabled high school students at Wallops Island, Virginia. The second one involved designing activities and teaching geology to teachers in West Virginia, public school teachers. And that was commonly referred to as rock camp, because we were on the road quite a bit.
Yes.
I've been recognized at the local, state, national levels. I'll give you a few of the highlights. In 86, I received the National Science Foundation Presidential Award for Excellence in Science Teaching. That was presented by Ronald Reagan. In 1990, I took home the first Milken Family Foundation Distinguished Educator Award in West Virginia. 1991, I was honored with the West Virginia Distinguished Educator Fund Elementary Merit Award and the West Virginia University College of Human Resources and Education Alumni Association's Award for Distinguished Achievement in Classroom Teaching. I retired in 2001, but had one more honor coming. 2004, I was selected as a member of the first class of the West Virginia University College of Human Resources and Education's Hall of Fame. In 2020-2021, I was included into the Marquis Who's Who in America. Today, you'll find me at home, either making jewelry, writing, or traveling.
What an amazing career. I said distinguished. That sells it short. That doesn't even come close to touching on all of the things. We could do a program based on almost every facet of your career. We're spending our time today talking about Ed's delightful children's book, Claire's Tomato. His website, by the way, is clairestomatobook.com. Ed Keller, book available at Amazon, Lit Prime, all of those places. We'll mention that as we go through the program. Now tell me about the book. I just did a couple of sentences to get people's attention on what the book is about. Tell me about the book and the inspiration behind this.
Okay, usually I go into too much detail, so I'm not going to do that this time. The story is about a little girl named Claire, and while she's shopping with her mom in a grocery store, she begins to ask questions about vegetables. Her mom answers most of the questions, but that night, mom and dad decide it would be better for Claire to sort of discover on her own the answers to a lot of these questions, rather than to be told the answers. Sort of a first-hand learning experience. And they figured out the best way to do that would be to give her her own plant to take care of. So they gave her a tomato plant. And the book is basically following Claire's experiences, learning about, caring for, and growing her tomato plant, which she is totally responsible for. Her resources include her parents, the public library, and she's solving problems like, how do you protect a plant from animals? Animals that would like to eat the tomatoes. How do you, or what do you do to ensure that all these tomatoes are going to be healthy? And finally, what are you going to do with them all when they ripen? This is a little girl, so these are some serious questions. The book contains questions for the listener to answer. These questions are designed to promote a dialogue between the reader and the listener, where they can exchange ideas and discuss Claire's activities. And I did that because when I was teaching elementary school, I found out that a lot of parents don't have time to talk to their kids. And this would hopefully create a dialogue, a non-threatening dialogue, where a parent and a child or grandparent or anybody who's reading the book can ask the child what their opinion is on something and get the answer. And you'd be surprised what these kids come up with. It might be totally wrong, but there's usually logic behind it. And you can take that logic and work with it. And that's what learning really is. So that was part of the motivation for the book.
The book is Claire's Tomato, beautifully illustrated, by the way, as well as very well written. I mean, it's a great story that Ed does an excellent job in presenting to the young people, and will answer, as they say, some questions possibly for adults as well. His website is clairestomatobook.com, book available at Amazon.com, LitPrime.com, Barnes & Noble, all of those. Why did you decide to write the book? You're teaching, you know how to get through to children. Why did you decide to put this in book form?
Well, I was an elementary teacher. A lot of the kids would come in and they didn't really know how to solve problems. When I was a kid, my parents, you know, had lots of time. We didn't have computers and this type of stuff, and we actually sat down at night and would play games or read books. And with today's society, it's not that time. I don't know what happened to it, but it's disappeared. It's rare that families even get to sit down and eat a dinner together. But I found out that the kids just don't know how to solve problems. So I figured out I'd write a book and set up situations where Claire is having to solve problems. So she identifies the problem, and then how do you go about solving it? Well, you got to find out information about it. Where do you find out information? Well, you can go to a parent, you can go to somebody and ask them, or you can go to a library or a computer. There's places you can find information, but before you can answer the question, you got to learn about it. Then you come up with a hypothesis. What do you think the answer is? And then you test that answer. It may be wrong, And then if it's wrong, you go back, you got the same problem again. It could be as something as simple as, what are you going to eat for lunch? You know,
yes,
that's a problem. You got many choices. Do you know when you make a choice that maybe that piece of pizza is going to be the best thing to eat? You don't know that till you eat it.
That's
and
true.
When you eat it, it could taste lousy. You never know.
And then you're
That's
right
your experiment.
And then you're and right back to starting.
Your conclusion would be, yes, it was a good piece of pizza, or no, it wasn't. If it wasn't a good piece of pizza, you got the same problem. What am I going to have for lunch?
So picking lunch is problem solving in essence, isn't it? There can be a wrong answer to that. And if there is, you, like you say, with the young people that you're talking to in the book, you go back and you start over until you get a good lunch out of it. I love all that goes into this book. Was there like one person or one incident that inspired you to write the book?
Well, that's an interesting question. Really, what inspired me was a photograph. I have a photograph of my young niece, about 3 years old. She's got her baseball cap on backwards, and she's sort of kneeling down, and she's got this big green tomato in her hand. And she's talking to it, and she's calling it Greeny. And she's talking to this tomato like it's a real person. You know, this is her friend. She's carrying it around and talking to it and having a good time with this tomato. And I said, you know, that's really a neat picture. That would be a great story. And that was sort of what developed this Claire's Tomato book, was that photograph.
It's an amazing.
And carrying on the idea about this tomato and the relationship between a young girl and her tomato.
That's how it all began for Ed Keller. His book is Claire's Tomato. His website, clairestomatobook.com. You'll find it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, litprime.com, all of those places. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. What is the target audience for this? Is there anybody in the age group in particular that you wrote this for?
Not really. I mean, it's a children's book, so I'm going after children. But I think anybody that reads the book or listens to the book is going to get something out of it, even if it's an adult. There's something there for everybody.
When you were writing this book, what did you hope the message would be for young people? And let me make that plural, messages. There are so many different themes and levels of discipline that you talk about in the book. What were some of the lessons you hope would be a takeaway for the reader?
I had one big message, and it's a really important one, and that is the best gift you can give a child is your time.
And that's so simple, and it's something that doesn't cost us anything. And you see it in your life, in your family, and certainly as a teacher, just having that time alone and being able to communicate, to talk to and to listen to what the children are saying. I want to go back to something because it's really a clever way that you've written the book. You've got the questions there again. Talk about that because it really gets the reader to thinking. It's interactive at this point, and they're going through different a thought process in their mind. Talk about incorporating questions. Why that was important to you to add to the book?
Well, I wanted it to be proactive. I mean, you can have a story and just talk your way through it, and there's very little interaction. I wanted interaction. I want the kids to feel like they're part of it. If you ask them, what do you think about this? There's a decision that Claire makes. What do you think about that decision? Did she make the right one? Would you do the same thing? And you're talking to an adult now. So there's two different perspectives. You got the child's perspective and the adult's perspective. And they're going to be different. And the kid may say, well, no, that's not the way I think about this. And the adult could then say, well, why? Why do you think that? And learn about each other. You'll find out that the kids have some strange ideas, but there's usually some logic behind it. And if you take that logic and think about it and work with it, you can really get some neat learning experiences going.
You know,
and that was part of my reasoning for doing this. I wanted to create a dialogue between an adult and a child, which was non-threatening. So I had these open-ended questions.
Yeah, and this fits into to both categories, the book Claire's Tomato. I want to talk for a second about that interaction aspect of it, that engagement with the students in the classroom, whether it's elementary school or college kids you're talking to. Obviously, that was what made you the success that you, all the success that you had in the classroom was that engagement of asking questions. Is that the way you conduct in the classroom rather than just reading something in front of the class? You engage them intellectually.
I tried to, yes. I used a hands-on approach. I think that's the way you got to learn. You know, you learn by doing, not by telling. You know, I
yes.
can tell you to put this and this and this together and this will happen, or you can do it. And if you do it, it's more meaningful and it becomes real.
Why did you decide to choose the tomato? Claire's Tomato is the book. Why the tomato? You get this idea. You could have done a number of different fruits and vegetables to bring along. You chose the tomato. Why that?
Well, first of all, they're easy to grow. Lots of people like them.
Yes.
And they're kind of misunderstood. Lots of people think tomatoes are vegetables. And they're not. They're actually fruits. They grow on a vine and they have seeds in them. They're a fruit, just like a grape. And people don't think of a tomato that way. Also, the tomato is actually a poisonous plant. If you go eat the leaves of a tomato plant, you're going to get sick. But the fruit is okay. You can eat a green tomato. You can eat a red tomato. You'll be fine. But don't go chewing on the stem or the leaves because there's toxins in them. And the Puritans, this is interesting. The Puritans, when they came to the colonies, tomatoes were, of course, introduced by the Spanish and they took off all over the world. They would not eat tomatoes because they were afraid of the poison in them.
Interesting.
That was a sort of a forbidden fruit.
Well, there's a little history that goes into this as well. Not only the story of growing the tomato, caring for the tomato, but the history that goes into that, which is fascinating as well. In doing this book, do you think you've encouraged people to, because of some of the reasons you talked about, tomato being fairly easy to plant and grow, you think this will be something you end up reading the book and maybe it's the next step you want for the family to, well, let's try it. Let's go out and let's plant some tomatoes and let's try it.
I sure hope so, because there's so much more you can do other than just growing it. If you use your imagination, you can have all kinds of neat experiences with it. Let's do math with the tomato. And you're saying, how can you do math with a tomato? Okay, we're going to do a graphing exercise. You'll take the vertical axis and make that inches. You'll take the horizontal axis, make that days. Then you're going to measure the plant. How much does it grow each day? You're going to get this nice graph. Or you could do the same for the size of the tomato. How long does it take the tomato to grow? How long does it take it to change colors? There's all kinds of different things you could do. It's just use your imagination. You can come up with all kinds of different activities with a silly tomato plant.
You know, I can see why you have been a multi-award winning educator. It's not just saying, okay, we're going to grow a tomato. There's a story. You're teaching math from that. You're teaching history from that. It's amazing what you've done in the classroom and the impact that you've had on so many young people and young adults as well in your teaching career. A minute or so left in the program. What do you hope the takeaway is? What do you hope that the young person and maybe family members take away from reading Claire's Tomato?
Well, these are rather lofty goals, but I'm hoping that the child will learn to ask questions, to research problems when they don't know anything, to make observations, to work as a member of a team, and to express their ideas and act responsibly. That's really what I'd like them to take away from it. If they could just get one or two of those, I'd be happy.
Well, and it's written in such a way that they will get that and presented in such a way it will capture their attention. It will be a lifelong memory for them. And it'll make something like going to the grocery store with your parents even more fun, because you'll have all sorts of questions on how this particular food item got where it is today, and all sorts of interesting discussions that you can have about that. What are you working on now? Do you have another book ready?
Well, I'm working on a follow-up to Claire's. It'll be Claire's Garden.
We'll expand that and talk about more fruits and vegetables, and I hope we have a chance to talk about that as well. Ed Keller has been our guest on the program. He is the author of Claire's Tomato. His website, very simple, clairestomatobook.com. You'll find it at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, published by Lit Prime, their website, litprime.com. All of this, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Ed, it's been a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you for coming on and sharing the delightful story of Claire's Tomato and the success. Congratulations on the success that you've had with this book. And we look forward to the next book in the series.
Well, thank you.
It has been our pleasure. Ed Keller, our guest on the program. Information, of course, on our website, This Week in America. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.